It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, of course, and our guest today is Alex Holman from Notre Vue Winery. Great to meet you, man. You've never been in before.
No, I haven't. Thank you for inviting me.
Notre Vue means our view.
Our view.
And I only know that because I'm looking at the website. Give us the history.
The history of the property is Balvern Estate, and we pay homage to that. And we have two brands on the estate. Notre Vue is our top-tier brand that you can only get at the moment at the estate or through special accounts. Balvern is our three-tier brand that we go throughout the country, and they're more New World varietals, whereas Notre Vue is more of a Old World blend concentric.
So it says an agrarian heritage.
Right.
By the way, agrarian heritage playing this weekend at Hot Monk, one of my favorite bands. What does that mean exactly?
Well, the property has been growing grapes since the 1800s.
Wow.
So the property itself has been around as a grape grower in Sonoma County for a while.
And what's your experience in history, and how did you get into the world of wine?
I got a degree in chemistry from Fresno State and was working as an analytical chemist. And then I worked in a fertilizer pesticide plant, and I needed to get out of Fresno. So I went back for enology, and I used wine to make it back home. I'm a native San Franciscan.
Oh, cool.
Went to Lincoln High, and that's sort of the ulterior motive to get into wine. I was a home brewer, is how I caught the fermentation bug.
Nice.
So I've pretty much fermented everything you can imagine.
All right, we are starting out each segment here on California Wine Country every week with something from Dan Berger's cellar. I believe this is from 1692. He's got one hell of a cellar, I'll tell you that.
2004. Brandborg Cellars Syrah from Southern Oregon, a little town called Elkton, Oregon. I've been there several times. Terry and Sue Brandborg are some of my favorite people on the planet. They make fabulous wine. Their Pinot Noir is excellent. Their Syrah is, like, phenomenal.
2004. This is delicious.
It's delicious wine. It's only 16 years in the bottle. A beautiful region, cool climate. Gives you a little bit of that black pepper, a little raspberry, and a little teeny bit of fresh plum. It's a gorgeous wine.
I'm getting plum.
That plum is just right in the middle of it. And the whole deal is this wine is never really very expensive. I mean, this couple sells most of its stuff. They do have national distribution, Brandborg, Brandborg. And they have the national distribution, but they sell the majority of their wine through their tasting room, and it's the most fun tasting room in Southern Oregon. It's a lot of fun.
Alex, your thoughts on this 04?
I like it. I'd add even a little aroma of violets. I know it's my grandmother always had violets, and I like that as a descriptor in Syrah. It's always, when I can get to that point, I always know it's a good one.
That really is good, Dan.
Good wine. Well, next week, another gem.
Okay. So, again, let's talk about Notre Vue. What kind of, as far as that top-notch, those top-notch wines you're making, what else do you guys have? I know we have a Chard and...
Yeah, well, the property actually has 16 varieties.
Okay.
Property consists of 700 acres, 310 devoted to forever wild open space, and somewhere between 220 and 240 planted acres with 16 varietals. The only varieties I didn't bring into my cellar in 2019 were Sangiovese and Docetto. So we've got all the Bordeaux's, the three Rhone varieties, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, Sauv Blanc, Muscat, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir. So it's been a real fun opportunity for me to, at this point in my career, to have such a wide palette of things to work with. It's been very enjoyable, and it's a beautiful property.
Yeah, where is the property?
Right north of Arata Lane. So Arata Lane in Windsor.
Yeah.
And on the just half a mile east of the freeway and into the hills and all the way up to the top. So our property crests the hill there. And for any point of reference, it's where the Kincaid fire came in last year.
How did that affect you guys?
Yeah, it came through the property.
Wow.
We burned 80 miles of irrigation line, 80.
And this year, harvest okay and done?
Well, we did harvest, and it's been a struggle with clients. You know, we sell more grapes than we bring into the winery, and so contracts have been a struggle. And the people who couldn't afford to pass a vintage, they process grapes, and we'll see. That's a longer discussion about what your smoke taint analysis.
Yeah, and see, I call it grape stink, but it's smoke taint. I don't know why I can't get that.
But, and the testing ETS got so booked up that it was so much like the COVID testing. You can't do business if you can't find it. You can't get a result.
We've been talking about
my
that
first results
for a long time.
Right, I turned in my first samples of Pinot Noir September 3rd, and I didn't get an answer till October 17th.
Wow. Dan, notre vous, thoughts?
This is a wonderful estate, partially because one of the people who discovered this area was Rodney Strong, the late, great Rodney Strong, who actually liked to harvest Chardonnay from these same soils. And this is an unusual soil type, because you have a different composition than most of your neighbors. Can you want to explain that a little bit?
Well, right. The property encompasses both Russian River and Chalk Hill Appalachians. And it's sort of split almost diagonally, whereas the southwestern quadrant and divide is more, you know, ancient seabed, more clay soils, even a little high mag, more like you would have in Petaluma Gap almost.
And by the way, high mag also playing this weekend at Hop Monk.
That's right, cover band. And then the northern part of our property are the volcanic Chalk Hill soils. And you can see Mount St. Helena directly across. You can see where it blew out. There are big boulders of basalt all over the top of our property. So the Bordeaux and some of the Rhone varieties are doing really well up in our rocky soils, whereas our Pinot and Chardonnay are all down below in the more not traditional Russian River soils, because they're not alluvial and not so nutritious.
This is a really wonderful Chardonnay. I was talking to Alex out in the green room, and we were noting that this wine went through some malolactic fermentation, but normally malolactic will cut into your acidity. Here the acid is really right up front, and what's really nice about it is that it's very refreshing. It gives you the sense that this wine would go great with some sole or some fish that doesn't have a lot of oil in it, because it doesn't have a lot of weight or body, but what it does have is flavor.
Daddy needs some chard.
This Chardonnay is just beautiful. And I think a lot of people who like Chardonnays from the cooler areas of Russian River would love this wine, because it does emphasize the crispness. And I like that. I think the acidity is... What's the acid in this? It's really good.
The TA is getting close to 6. It's 5.8. 5.8 grams per liter.
That's good. It's a really lovely... Notice that there's not very much oak, so that's really helpful.
Well, and...
It's nice and dry, and it's lovely, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, my joke is a wise man told me once that wine was made from fruit, so that should be your first flavor.
Hey, that makes sense.
Right? And that the oak is to accentuate the fruit. And so I've been criticized at times when I tell people Chardonnay's not my favorite wine to drink. Of course, my wife is loves Chardonnay, so I make it for her mostly. But when a variety as a winemaker is not your favorite wine to drink, you tend to be more critical to make it in a style that's more approachable for everybody. Whereas you get caught up in one, you know, niche genre, then you're making it for one person. If you're trying to make it for the masses, I want people to say, you know, I really don't like Chardonnay, but I love this. And
when I was born, they named me Steve Chardonnay Jackson. That's my middle name. So the finish on this is so clean.
Isn't that gorgeous? Yeah,
yeah.
What's really appealing is that it's not ice cold. You go into a restaurant, they'll chill it way, way, way down. You'll miss all that.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, it's really important to have sweet and spicy oak rather than the big, you know. I really pay a lot of attention to my coopers, and I'm very specific about the coopers that I use, that they're not overbearing and they're more on the sweet, spicy side.
And of course, he's talking about cooperage.
That's the right. Barrels.
Yes. Not the Cooper family.
Yeah, that's
my next door neighbors.
The roadie of the cover band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, are you guys doing outside wine tasting at the winery?
Yes, and actually, that's where we're excelling because we have so much open space, and we have lakeside pavilions that we taste at. We have a Block 23 that's just a beautiful overlook of the whole valley. If we ever have an air show again, that's the perfect place to watch the air show because the planes do their U-turn right over the property.
Wow, cool.
So it's...
It'll be back.
It's a beautiful facility, and we have lots of outdoor space. And you have to shift.
And what are the hours? And
daily, we do tastings, appointment only, 10:30 to 4. We also do micro events, so we can do an event up to as much as 40 people, and so we can do all kinds of special events that, you know, we're, you know, 8, 10 people, whatever.
And it's NotreVueEstate.com, and again, NotreVue. Bob and Renee Stein are the founders and owners of
Correct.
The winery. Talk about them a bit.
Yeah, well, Bob and Renee, they live in L.A., and they've owned the property since 92. They have a home on the property, and right now Renee is very involved in the day-to-day, and so she has a great eye for design and presentation, and so she really is very conscious about the events and how we are presenting the brand. So it's a new world.
It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Alex Holman is our guest from NotreVue Estate Winery. Indeed. Talk about the other labels that you guys have. Explain that again, because we did it early on, but I'm confused.
Right.
I'm always confused.
Right. So 10 years ago, the property was Windsor Oaks.
Oh, yeah.
So if that's 30 years ago, it was Balvern. So, and it's been Balvern for that's the original property. There's even, you know, streets off of Brooks that are... They're named Balvern. So Balvern is the traditional name of the property. So we felt that we wanted to pay homage to that, and that we always had two brands, the NotreVue and the Balvern, when we transformed from Windsor Oaks. So Balvern became the three-tier selling all across the nation, and what you would traditionally get in other places other than California. Notre Vue is the brand that is particular to the estate. You buy it on the estate. Now, we're going to expand.
What about retail? I mean, you guys at Bottle
we
Barn?
Are
you must be.
Yeah, and we're in transition because we had, you know, several tragedies from a structural fire. We lost, you know, 500 barrels and 3,200 cases of wine and 2 months after I started the job. So 2019 was literally the relaunch of the business because we had no product to sell. And so Balvern is our mainstay every day. You know, the price points are different, certainly, and Balvern is more of your everyday wine. And then Notre Vue are our special lots. Now,
are you guys in restaurants with Notre
Vue?
We
are, yes, we are, and both.
Oh, okay, good.
Both. And so three-tier, you know, all our distributors and all our brokers are out. They're selling Balvern to restaurants, and like Bottle Barn would be looking at Balvern. But Notre Vue is also available at the special accounts. We want to, you know, have some separation of speciality between the two brands. But, you know, you're asking a winemaker to choose what children he likes best. And
right.
So I put
I know you like her best.
That's right.
His daughter's here with
daughter.
Us. Yeah.
And so certainly as a winemaker, I'm not doing anything differently between the brands, but when it comes to blending, we'll make our more special barrels or maybe a little heavier oak on some of the Bordeaux or something like that. Or my Balvern, my Pinot Noir is separated by clones. So I have a 828 is a favorite clone of mine. So 828 and 667 are the clones of Notre Vue Pinot Noir, whereas Balvern has some of the more cherry-driven clones. And so there is separation between.
And we're going to taste some Balvern in a moment, right?
That's correct.
But, Dan, tell me about this rosé. Is this a 19?
This is 19.
Okay.
All
correct.
Wines are 19, actually. This is a really classic, traditional style of wine for the south of France. The Rhone Valley makes a lot of wines like this. They're Rhone blends of Grenache, Syrah, and Mourvèdre. All three of those varieties are primary to the Rhone Valley, and they do make wonderful rosé. But what's really fascinating is that we'll see a Sonoma County version of this, whereas so many of the rosés we taste in Sonoma County are made from Pinot Noir. And the reason is we got a lot of Pinot Noir, and we got a lot of people making Pinot Noir red wine, so they're making a little rosé out of it too.
Right.
So we see a lot of the Pinot Noir rosé, but this is a GSM rosé, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. And here, the Syrah has actually got a little, plays a really interesting role in the aromatics, because there's a spice character here that I'm assuming comes from the Syrah, but I can't identify it, and I don't think Alex can either. I mean, we're both trying to figure out what it is. It's sort of raspberry jam in the aroma, but not much of the jam. Normally you associate the jam with a red wine, but in this case it's very delicate, but it also has some white wine tannin, which is really helpful in terms of pairing this with food. This is a delicious.
Yeah, right on.
It's a dry wine, but it has a richness in the mid palate that's offset by the white wine tannin. It's gorgeous wine.
It really is. I agree, and I'm not just saying this because Alex is in the studio. This everything you've tasted with us, just amazing. This, I can't put my finger on what is different to me about this rosé than all the others that we've tasted
one
over the years.
One thing I would like to add is that it may well be that what you're picking up on is the beautiful balance between acid and alcohol, so that there's not one over the other. They're both in harmony with
it's
each
a wonderful
other.
Wonderful mix.
This alcohol is 12.7.
That's low.
Tell me how many times you've heard that in Sonoma County.
Right.
And so having the lower alcohol, it seems to, for me, it brings out more fruit, more of the fruit nuances. And whereas certainly when you have higher alcohol or even higher acid, and the threshold is so high that it masks some of these other dainty flavors. And I think when you keep that down, it really brings it out.
When one party is sitting in a restaurant and they order meat and the other one orders fish, this is the perfect wine for it.
Really?
Because it, they go with both.
Mike, will you go down to the meat locker and bring us some meat? That's really delicious, a 2019 rosé from Notre Vue. How do you say Notre, Alex? Is it more Notre?
Because
I'm trying to be fancy here, and I keep going Notre.
Yeah, no, I'm a Californian that spent time in
Texas.
Hell,
I grew up in Detroit.
So
I don't even know what
that is. Semi-drawl. So, yeah, Notre, Notre Vue. I try not to be too... I try to keep as much pretension out of my life as possible.
Amen, sir. It's NotreVueEstate.com, and they've got a lot of space outside. They're doing wine tastings. You said 7 days a week, Alex?
Pardon?
7 days a week for the wine tasting?
Yes, 7 days a week, 10:30 to 4 o'clock for appointments. And we're actually...
Go online and make an appointment.
And... talking about events, our next event is a GSM program release. So we're just enjoying our still rosé. Now, I also made a sparkling rosé.
GSM?
GSM.
What is that again?
Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre.
Gotcha.
And so we made a sparkling sister to this wine, the last wine we tasted. That's fabulous. And then we also have a red wine GSM. Now, they all have different ratios of Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre, so it's a little interesting experiment to see how the different varieties change the flavors. But we're now starting this program. So we're launching this program with a party November 14th. And you can
nice.
Go on our website and for... to buy tickets for the event, and we have the Oyster Girls are going to be shucking oysters.
Mike, and, go downstairs and get the Oyster Girls for me, would you?
and maybe have some paella, and so we're going to launch our trio of GSM wines for the holiday, and so we're going to sort of launch our holiday releases for the winter.
Very good. Okay, what are we moving to? Is this the
Pinot Noir?
2019, probably the youngest Pinot Noir you will ever drink.
Losing all our inventory. We had to really, move hard to relaunch the brand. And, when you say we've lost everything, then what are you going to serve to the public in January? So we really had to work hard to readjust our program and our business model to how do you stay in business when you lose all your inventory.
Yeah.
And
well, 2019 is a little young to be releasing a Pinot Noir, but this is a pretty tasty wine. It needs another 8 months to 10 months in bottle because it just doesn't really display the maturity at this stage. It's like a tank sample.
A beautiful tank wine. Sample?
Well, it's like a barrel sample.
A barrel. Okay, that I can understand.
We have about 12 wines right now. Notre Vue is our flagship wines, but we have all the varietals in Balvern. We have Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir Rosé, and a 17 cab.
From Balvern.
Well, Balvern is an interesting story in itself because it got started a long time ago in the 80s, and one of the first winemakers there was Doug Nall, who, of course, we've had on the show before several times. He's a wonderful winemaker and mm-hmm. a historic guy. His son Andrew has now taken over at Nall Vineyards, and we'll have him back very shortly. But Doug was really the guy who set the original style for these wines. He came from a historic class at UC Davis. And the Balvern brand was really very well respected in Southern California where
served
I was living.
Served in the White House.
Oh, yeah, served in the White House. Yeah, really delicious products. But it's a wonderful property. If you have a chance to visit, you really should because it's one of the few properties that has not changed visibly over the last 30 years. It's pretty much the same look as it has been. It's wild country up there.
Yeah.
And it's pretty country.
Yeah. And I actually have some relative news on that point, too. So if you're a member of Park Point Gym.
I was for years.
We have a partnership with them. So if you're a wine club member and a or a Park Point member, you have free privileges for hiking throughout the property.
Wow.
And biking. You know, if you want to take your mountain bike up on the and it's basically just the vineyard roads all the way up through the property. But you can also, if you're not one of those members, we also, you can go on the website and do guided tours. And so we have a gal that you can contract to do guided tours.
That's
so
very cool.
There's a lot of ways, and with the COVID and everything, we really extended our property to all our neighbors and everybody so they can, you know, get their mind right and do what they need to do.
Amen, sir.
And
so, I was a member of Park Point for years, then I got old and I gave up.
Yeah, well.
But it's a great place.
That's right.
Still is. Did we talk about this Bel Vern cab?
No, we haven't even poured it yet.
Oh, I have. It's a 2017.
Yeah, just about right.
Alex, talk about that.
Yeah, well, this is a blend of Cab, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. And so it's one of the survivors, and we don't have too many wines of this vintage, and so most of our wines are from the 19. And so this is the lone cat. Right now, all of my 19 Bordeaux's are still in barrel. So this is the lone Cabernet that we have to
offer. Dan, 2017 Cab. Talk about this one.
I haven't even smelled it yet. Well, right away, I can tell that the alcohol is only 14.3, which is good.
For a cab, that's, yeah.
Oh, this is very pretty. It's got this black cherry component in the initial aroma. Obviously, it wasn't aged very long in barrels. It was aged for, about 18 months, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't smell barrels here. You smell mostly the fruit. This wine's really, really young and vivacious. What really needs, you probably ought to decant this when it's if you're going to drink it soon. Because
2 hours, right?
At least, I would think. Because, you know, you're dealing with it. I mean,
what if you decant something like this? Can you do it overnight and it's still okay?
Absolutely. I just finished a tasting in which the wines were best the second day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't have the patience, Dan.
I have to. It's my
it's
job.
Or the willpower.
It's been 10 minutes. That's
or
it. I screw it. I...
Good acidity, good mid-palate. It's a little bit lacking in the aftertaste right now because it's so young. I mean, it's just a baby. But the flavors are all there, and it's going to really be in good shape. I think your pH is probably right around 3.6, and that's really helpful because this will lengthen the life of the wine.
Right, right.
Alex Holman is with us. You're like what, above Windsor?
Right, the northeast corner of Windsor.
Okay.
So Arata Lane, and just a half mile east of the 101.
Oh, cool.
And we have a Syrah left to go.
Well, you go for it, Dan.
Right.
I'll go for it.
Alex Holman is our guest from Notre Vu Wines.
This Syrah that I just tasted from Notre Vu is fabulous. And so next time you visit Notre Vu up in Windsor, this is the extra wine.
And that's a 19 again,
Alex? A 19.
Right. This is a 19, again, GSM red wine, sort of a California Chateau Neuf de Pop. It's 51% Grenache, 29% Mourvèdre, and 20% Syrah.
Beautiful wine.
Damn, Alex, everything you've brought in has been blowing me away here. Wow.
The one little fun fact that I didn't tell you about all this is that the fact that you don't know is that I fancy myself as a native fermentation wine guy. So I don't add yeast to pretty much any of my wine.
You're a fermentator.
And
can I say that on the radio? Apparently I can, yeah.
I take great pride in making the oxymoron the clean native fermentation. And whereas
I like that.
In tradition, they usually have some kind of flaws or some kind of funkiness to it.
Not here.
But not here. And so the chemist in me has allowed me to really get in tune with the fermentation process.
Alex Holman, Notre Vu, Estates.com.